Welcome to Glory to Glory, the radio teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. Join us now in our study as we open the Word together.
If you can turn with me, we're picking up in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 9. Title of our message here this morning, End Times, Longing for What? Longing for what? During the end times, we're going to read the people that will be here during the time of tribulation. That's a seven-year period called the tribulation period. We will not be here. As a church, we'll be raptured. We'll be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. Amen to that. But there will be little hell on earth. You think things are bad now? I hate to tell you, it's going to get worse. And it's going to get a lot worse. But we who are alive and remain as believers will be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Then there'll be 7 years of tribulation. During that seven-year period, towards the end of the tribulation period is where we're looking at, there is going to be a one-world economy, a one-world government, a one-world religion. They're all going to work together. The Antichrist will be over the one-world economy, one-world government. The false prophet will be over the one world religion. They're going to work hand in hand. It's going to be very, very materialistic. They don't want anything during that time. They won't want anything to do with God. It's anti-God, and it's all self and money and materialistic stuff, and we're going to read about that. So that's what's going to happen during that time. God, as we're going to read, will bring sudden judgment upon that system. God will judge it and punish it and destroy it, as we're going to read here in our text. So it's a wicked system. We won't be here. It will be judged. I believe God created us in a way as believers to desire justice. We want things to be right, don't we? I know I do. I don't like going to a movie watching the bad guys get away. I just don't like, bad guys need to get caught, need to go to jail. And so we don't know if we're going to see this side of the rapture, judgment and punishment for liars and cheaters and all these people that are evil and wicked. We don't know that. I hope so. I pray so. I hope we see it. But we might not. But what we're going to read here is that God will bring justice. God will. The bad guys will get caught. And the bad guys will be punished. And that's what we're reading about. This one world economy that will take place. It's called Babylon the Great. So let's stand, please, as I read just these verses to you. So Revelation 18, I'm going to read verses 9 to 14. Revelation 18, 9 to 14. Verse 9, the Apostle John writes, "And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, 'At last, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stone and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots," don't miss this part, "and bodies and souls of men. For the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all." Lord, you said in your word that we're to make application in this wonderful book. And Lord, we know that this is futuristic. This will happen in the future. But yet again, you said that we're to apply the book of Revelation. So Lord, I would ask that you would give us application for our lives personally. We pray, Lord, with the simple teaching of your word, that your Holy Spirit would instruct and speak to us. So you know the notes I have here, Lord, but I pray that you'd go beyond notes, that there would be a special work of your Spirit just speaking to each one of our hearts, God. So prepare our hearts again for this message that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can be seated. I find it interesting, 9/11, we just looked at the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. And some people believe that this chapter, Revelation 18, is a fulfillment of this chapter. And this is why, I just want to throw this out there. I don't believe that, but there's many that believe this. Because in verse 2 of this chapter, it says Babylon is fallen, and then it repeats it, is fallen. So they look at it as the tower was fallen, and the next one is fallen. So they use that. Verse 8, it says, will be utterly burned with fire, as we saw the twin towers, utterly burned with fire. Interesting. Verses 9 and 10, it says, the kings of the earth will see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of their torment. So people were tormented, and they saw it from a distance. We watched on television the fire and the torment. So they look at that. Then it says in verse 10 that we just read, in an hour, your judgment has come, and the towers were destroyed. Within an hour, both towers were destroyed, and judgment came. I personally don't believe this chapter is a fulfillment of 9/11 here in this country. One of the main reasons I don't believe that is because this is still futuristic. This will take place during the time of tribulation. That time's not here yet. I believe that time's going to be soon and close. But I believe also that the 9/11 and the destruction that took place was a wake-up call for this country and for the world. And I said this on last Sunday. I believe the wake-up call, people woke up, but then they hit the snooze button, and people just went back to sleep, spiritually speaking. It's a shame to see where we're at. So we see that. Timeline, I believe this is the end of the tribulation period before Jesus Christ comes back at his second coming. So there's a timeline in there. It even goes right into the second coming of Jesus. So there's where it fits, I believe, in the timeline of things here. Another thing, so again, please don't miss this. This is a commercial Babylon. It's a commercial system that's greedy, that's materialistic, that is evil, that wants nothing to do with God. This is the judgment that we just read. So again, as a church, we won't be here. Where will the church be during this time? In heaven, right? I believe that with all my heart. I know there's people, even in this sanctuary, that you know they have a different eschatology, meaning end time understanding. They think we're going to go through the tribulation period. My question is, how well are you sleeping at night? Because I don't think I would sleep very good if I thought I had to go through everything that we're reading. All hell will break loose here on this earth. It'll be evil, demonic, and those that come to Christ will need to get their head chopped off for their faith. So you might say, Pastor, you're an escapist. Yes, I am an escapist. I want out of here. So I'll agree with you there. Okay, other thing I like to mention, every Sunday, because I know there's new people here constantly, people watching online, the book of Revelation is the only book in the entire Bible that promises us a threefold blessing. We're blessed when we read it. We're blessed when we hear it. And then we're blessed when we apply it. So we just read it. We just heard it read. So we can say amen and we'll have a double blessing. We can walk away being blessed, but there's one more. There's application. So God wants us to apply this. So let's try to do our best as we open up this text to bring some application for our lives. So back in verse 9, as we look at this text a little closer. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. I personally believe that not only is it a system, this economic, commercial, one world system that's going to be, but you see a physical burning, you see smoke, you see, I believe it's an actual city. I know good friends of mine, pastor friends of mine, they think it's just symbolic. I'm not dogmatic on this, but I can't get away with keep saying it's a city, it's burning. So I believe, yes, it is a system, but I believe it's in an actual place. My personal understanding, which I look at it literally, I believe it's going to be in Iraq. It's going to be rebuilt, and it's going to be the commercial center. We already looked at the religious center, looks like it'll be in Rome. So Rome will have the religious center with a false prophet. Who could that be? Well, figure that out. So then we've got the commercial Babylon, this demonic system headed by the Antichrist. But the kings of the earth, so the rulers, there's going to be 10 rulers. Remember, we've been looking at this. There's going to be 10 rulers that will rule the world during that time. One will be the Antichrist. He will be the dictator. He'll be the one that they'll all bow down to. Whatever he says goes. He will be empowered by Satan himself, right? So it's evil, right? So the kings are weeping. And that means, that word means to wail out loud, because they were one with the system. Fornication, fornication means becoming one with something. They're one with this whole system. This was their world, and their world is destroyed. And so here, they're weeping out loud. They're watching the burning, standing at a distance. Many believe that could be a nuclear attack that goes on the city. And they're afraid to go near it because of the radioactive material and all that kind of stuff. So that's speculation. We don't know. We're speculating. That great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour, your judgment has come. We have the question, 1 hour, is that a literal hour? And some say it just means an hour means suddenly. And it could be. I take it literally. I believe it'll be an hour. It'll just wipe out literally within an hour. But again, you can't be dogmatic. We don't know for sure. But I try to do my best to take it literally unless it tells me not to take it literally. So within 1 hour. But again, the bad guys in this scenario, the liars, the cheaters, all this evil finally will be done away with. God will come. Jesus Christ will come. Judgment will take place. Why? Because Jesus is going to come back and he's going to be the ruler. The government will be upon his shoulders, right? He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of
Peace.
Say that again, the Prince of
Peace.
That's the new government. I was talking to the Lord this morning in my devotional time. I'm like, Lord, I can't wait for your government. I'm tired of this government. I'm tired of all this garbage that's going on. And as believers, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him as kings and priests. I don't know if you can wrap your brain around that. I'm like, I'm just thankful you saved me, Lord.
Amen.
I know what I deserve. I deserve hell, but yet you saved me from darkness. Now you're telling me I'm going to be like a king or a priest? And listen, everything that we do here on this earth will count for all eternity. It'll count in the millennial kingdom. It'll count. Remember Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. So I've given you a little. Now I'm going to entrust you with these great things. So that's going to happen. Somehow, some way, we're going to rule over territories and all in the millennial kingdom. And I just can't even fathom that. Maybe I'll have, a little quarter mile street. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not praying for Hawaii because Pastor Chuck Smith asked for Hawaii, so he's probably going to get Hawaii. So I won't be there. I don't know how it works. But sudden punishment will happen. This system will be judged. This demonic system, one world government, one world order type of thing, and it's going to be judged. As we look at this, we look at the Bible, we look at current events, we look and see what's happening today. Are we seeing bigger government? Are we seeing bigger government control? Are we seeing governments wanting to control people and businesses? What do you think? Do we see government having more control? Well, how about over the church? Australia will start requiring churches to use vaccinated certificates for entering into worship. Show your papers before you worship. How about this? North Carolina judges strike down voter ID law, claiming it's racist. It's racist to ask for voter ID? That's racist? Is that crazy? We need ID or a license to drive, but we don't need it, apparently, to vote. How about this? The Gospel Coalition argues for vaccine passports to attend church. So you even have other groups, one with this, as we're going to see that will take place, that there'll be this one world church that's going to take place, and they're going to be right in line with everything. And then how many know David J. Harris Jr.? Can you just raise your hand if you're aware of him? Okay, so he put this on his Facebook. Interesting. These are, this big pile here, those are wedding bands that were removed from Holocaust victims prior to being executed in 1945. Before they execute them, they had them take off all their rings and they pile them all inside. Those are all rings. And this is what it says in here. It says, each ring represents a destroyed family. Never forget. Nazi tore down statues. Does that sound familiar? Banned free speech. Does that sound familiar? Blamed economic hardship on one group of people. Does that sound familiar? Instituted gun control. And again, sound familiar? And then this post that he just did, it says, almost fall. Don't forget to turn your clocks back to 1942. Back in our text. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her. So not only are the kings of the earth, but the merchants. Those are those that are selling the goods, the wholesale dealers, the merchants. They're going to weep, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. And then it has a list of all these things. So things that are sold during that time. And there's most of this is like luxury stuff. You've got your jewelry department, gold and silver, precious stone and pearls. And you've got your fine clothing department. You've got fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet. And then you've got your building supplies and your furniture, every kind of citron wood. You got ivory, objects of precious wood, bronze, iron, marble. Then you've got your perfume department and your colognes, cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense. Then you've got your alcohol and your fine meat department. You've got fine oil and flour, wheat, cattle, and sheep. Then you've got your transportation, your cars, your horses, and chariots. All this is going to be destroyed. And this is their world, and they're weeping and mourning. Again, they're crying out loud because it's all gone. It's all destroyed. This system will be it'll be everything about self. It has nothing to do with God, nothing to do with others, not helping others. As Christians, it's not about self. It's about God first and helping others. None of this is going to be during that time. God will be out of the picture. Others, they don't care. It's just me, me, me. I need this. I need that. It'll be very materialistic. It's going to be almost intoxicating. People are just going to be intoxicated by this whole thing. It's like a frenzy of, oh, me, I need this. I think of advertisement. Advertisers, they're pretty good at making us think we can't live without something, right? They're good. Your iPhones, I think about iPhones. After like a year or so, all of a sudden, they're no good anymore. You have to have the new model, right? Better pixels, better this, you got camera. And I've fallen into that many times. I need to have the new one, and it has this and this. And many times, I don't use the new features, but I have to have it. And they're good at convincing people. It's going to, during this time of tribulation, it's going to be totally out of control. I think about the hippie movement in the 70s, the early 70s. Who was a part of that? Is anybody was like part of the hippies? I want to see pictures of that too. You got guys rubbing their head with no hair. They're like, yeah, I used to have it. You know, it used to be down to here. But think of this. Check this out. They were rebelling against materialism and government. Remember that? They didn't want anything to do with, you know, they didn't need a fancy home or anything, right? They could just sleep on the floor. Literally, there's friends of mine. They slept in public bathrooms. They slept in churches. They would go over to friends' homes, right? And just say, hey, can I camp out? Can I chill right here, right? And say, yeah, come on in. They, well, I got 14 friends with me. Let's just hang out. And they were just all spread out on the floor. But listen, they weren't caught up in the materialistic world at the time. They didn't care about having fancy cars back then. Remember, you read about it. They'd hitchhike or they ride bikes and they'd walk. And it was like they wanted to rebel against the system. But you guess what? It was a good recipe for the Jesus movement, because that's where the Jesus movement hit. They were primed for Jesus. They detached themselves from all that, you know, what the world had to offer. And Jesus was like, you're ready. Come on in. And you see pictures of just hundreds and thousands of young kids coming to Christ. And there was a powerful Jesus movement. I believe we're seeing a little Jesus movement going on in our midst. It's a powerful thing to see Jesus Christ drawing people to himself. We have a lady here. I won't point any fingers. I won't try not to look at the person. I'll look up at the ceiling. So she prayed and committed or recommitted her life to the Lord on Sunday. And this Sunday, she just brought just stuff that's just wrong in her life that she wanted it thrown away, destroyed. And she goes, what do I do with it? I said, give it to me. I'll take it. And so we destroyed it. It's destroyed. It's in the, you know, I won't tell you where it's at, but it's destroyed. Hopefully it's all destroyed. But it's a part of repentance. We repent. We say, no, I don't want this thing. And it's not that the material world is evil. It's our heart towards the material world that's evil. Amen? That's where, you know, the evil comes in, is where is our heart? Interesting verse goes perfectly with this. In Proverbs 11:4, it says, riches do not profit in the day of what?
Wrath.
That's what's going to happen during that time. Their riches won't profit them anything. It'll all be destroyed. But what profits? But righteousness delivers from what?
Death.
And we're righteous because of what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. We're given him, his righteousness is brought into our account. Amen? I love what Paul the Apostle said, Philippians 4:11. He says, not that I speak in regards to what?
Need.
He's like, I don't need anything. That's not why I'm writing this. For I have learned in whatever, can we say that together? State, I am to be what?
Content.
That is great when you're in that place, when you are content no matter where you're at. No matter if you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Your life is found in Christ. The Lord used this verse in my life when I was living in the state of Michigan. And I read this and I'm like, Paul says, whatever state I'm in, I learned to be content. And I wasn't content. Because in Michigan, we have those really cold winters. And I never got used to it. People say, well, you just get used to it. I lived there 30-some years. I didn't get used to it. I never got used to, you know, before I go to work, I have to shovel the snow to get my car out. I had to scrape my windows, the ice off the windshield. And sometimes it was so hard you couldn't do it, so you had to turn your car on and warm your car up so the heat would melt it a little bit. So then you can, I never got used to it. So the Lord used this and said, really spoke to my heart. Did I call you to be here? And I was like, yeah. And He goes, why aren't you content? It's like, I don't like winters. And I said, Lord, help me to learn to be content. No matter where you have me, Lord, just help me to be content. And I would do okay for a while, and God was stripping that away from me to, you know, stop complaining and murmuring and all. And one of the very last time I remember it, I was there in front of my house, and there was like, we didn't get inches, we got like foot, you know, a couple of feet of snow that particular time. And so I pulled my car out into the street, and it got stuck in the middle of the street. So I had somebody helping me, and they were driving, you know, behind the wheel, and you know, we were pushing back and forth. I don't know if you're familiar with Iraq, and then you push it off, and you run, and you get it going, and it was just crazy. But this time, I was too close to the exhaust, so the exhaust was going into my mouth and my nose, and I have asthma, and so I was going, I couldn't breathe, and my chest was all tight, you know, and I was like, and I started complaining again, and the Holy Spirit was like, Lord, help me just to be content. And I realized, you know, there's brothers and sisters in Christ that are getting their heads cut off for their faith. And I'm complaining about snow and cold. And I just really remember saying, God, I want to just stop this. Help me to just stop complaining. I'm so sorry. And the Holy Spirit just worked in that part of my life. And shortly after that, he moved me out to Southern California. I thought, I wish I would have repented years ago. Seriously. But he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, when I'm poor or rich, it doesn't matter. Everywhere in all things, I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So I can be content if I have a lot, if I don't have hardly anything. Why? Because I can do all things through who?
Christ
who strengthens me. Our all in all should be in the very one that saved our lives. It shouldn't be caught up in this world, in the things of this world. Paul says, you know what? I'm not wrapped up with all that. I believe it's a great reminder for us, guys, listen, as believers in Jesus Christ, to have an eternal perspective. Hi, this is Pastor Joe, and I'd like to take a moment to personally invite you to one of our three services here at Calvary Chapel of the Harbor in Huntington Beach. Our service times are 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Please come and say hi after the service. I would love to meet you. For more information, check out our website at ccoth.com. That's ccoth.com. Hopefully, we'll see you here later today. God bless you.
You have been listening to Glory with Pastor Joe Pettick, an outreach of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. If you would like to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, call now at 714-788-8221. That's 714-788-8221. Our address is 16450 Pacific Coast Highway in Huntington Beach, California, 92649. We're located in Peter's Landing Marina in Huntington Harbor. Now, may we continue to go to His throne of mercy as He changes us from glory to glory.